The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. It is Bar Canada at the D. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us with all his plays. Kelly will talk some golf with us. We don't sleep on golf. I know it's not the Open Championships yet, but the Scottish Open is in full effect, and Kelly's got some plays. You going hard on this one?
Yeah, you should go a little bit later on this.
Okay, all right. And then Deanna Colon from the Jardians commercials will join us. Not the current Jardians commercials, the original Jardians classic. She'll join us coming up on the show. First, from Los Angeles, where he has been covering both Copa America and the Euros 2024 with Fox Sports, it is the Bear, Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, via Alexander Graham Bell's invention, the telephone. How you doing, Chris?
I'll let you know in about, 7 hours from now. We got some nice Spain-Netherlands finals. Name the finalists matches. We got a nice Netherlands to make the final ticket. So I'm fully anticipating being let down and disappointed a few hours from now.
Wait, repeat. What are your tickets that you still have? What are they?
I have a Netherlands Spain name the finalists ticket.
Oh wow!
And I have a Netherlands to make the final. So and then of course we have the Rodri to be outstanding player of the tournament ticket that we gave it on your show prior to the tournament. So that's in play too. So I'm fully prepared to be let down.
Of course. How much does it? What were the odds on the Netherlands Spain final?
It was. Let me write down. I want to get. It was 14-1 on DraftKings, and then I got a boost from DK, so I was able to boost it from 14-21.
Okay.
So it's a nice little ticket.
Okay, let's circle back also to your other play because I want to know what you're thinking about doing with it tonight. But first, last night or yesterday entirely, first with Copa, we'll start with the second one last night. Argentina just rolls Canada. I guess there was no surprise there. But as far as the Spain-France game, what a cracker of a first half. France goes up 1-0 with just really poor defense from Spain. They gave Mbappe a lot of room on the assist. And then Spain comes roaring back with not just one goal, but then a just absolutely beautiful second goal. That holds up the whole way. Were you happy to see that result?
Yes. I mean, I had under 2.5 in that match, and I had draw, but I was happy to lose those bets to ensure Spain getting through for the Rodri bet and for the potential matchup. And I think it's better for the final as well. You have the best team in the finals to play on Sunday afternoon. So even though I happened to lose the individual bets on that match, I was happy to get the better long-term future price and the player, the tournament ticket through there. So I was happy to see an exciting open match. I mean, we've been clamoring for it for so long because so many of the France matches had been dreadful to watch. But the early goal really opened it up. And Lamal is certainly a special young player.
France finally gets its open play goal, and with it they lose for the first time. That's the irony of that. Okay, let's go to Rodri before we get your thoughts on today's games in both Euro and Copa. Rodri, you got it. What number and what are you thinking about doing with it?
28-1 is what we got him at. And I don't know because I'm not sold that it's a lock that he wins if Spain wins. I think there can be a really good case made for Dani Olmo, who right now is the Golden Boot leader with 3 goals and a couple of assists. He's certainly been fantastic. He had the second goal for Spain yesterday. And then, of course, there's Lamal, who has been the talk of the tournament. I don't know if ultimately they'll decide to give a 16, just turned 17, turned 17 on Saturday, if they'll give him both player of the tournament and outstanding player of the tournament overall. So I almost wonder if, like, there's this subliminal thing in me that says, okay, maybe you give Rodri player of the tournament, Dani Olmo wins the Golden Boot, and then Lamal wins outstanding young player of the tournament, and you make everybody happy. But Dani Olmo has been thrust into the lineup because of the injury to Pedri. So I think there is some concern that Olmo could wind up being a player of the tournament as well. So I'm going to wait and see what happens, who they play today and who they'll wind up playing and figure it out. But I would say it's probably better than 50% Rodri wins because he is the bigger name. But I don't think it's a lockdown that if they win, that he does get it.
Okay. And last question on this. I'm just curious, and I'm putting you on the spot, so forgive me for this, but like, how often does an international tournament like Euros 2024 end up where three goals is the most that anybody scored the whole way through?
It's an extreme, and normally it takes five, I would say, because you've got the three group stage games, and then but four knockout round games. So five is usually the number.
Yeah, three is super, super low. Danny Olmo and Cody Gakpo, the only two that are currently still alive in the tournament. So let's start with the afternoon game, at least our time afternoon game, between the Netherlands and England. And obviously you have a lot riding on this. If you were just landing on this, Netherlands plus 220, draw plus 180, England, the short shot plus 165 on the three-way, how would you look at this?
I'm going to play just like I did yesterday. I'm going to play draw, and I'm going to play under 2.5. England has basically sucked the life out of every single matchup that been in so far, and I don't think this is going to be any different. I think there's a lot of familiarity between the Dutch and England just because so many of the Dutch players play in the Prem, including Virgil van Dijk and Nathan Ake, who are on that Dutch back line. Playing at Man City and Liverpool, they're familiar with the English lineup. So I think they know their tendencies. I think this is going to be a very tightly contested match. Unlike France, who has possessed the midfield and possessed the desire to go forward at times with great players, England has expressed no desire to go forward and attack. And that's kind of where the Dutch have been exposed. If you look at the Turkey match and the Austria match where they gave up some goals, It was wings going forward, being exciting, and England is not really built for that. So I am on under 2.5. I am on draw. And it's funny, we talked about the player of the tournament with Spain. I think there still might be a bet to be made if you want to bet someone on England, because I don't think it'll be Harry Kane. It shouldn't be Jude Bellingham. I think if you can find a good number still, I think he's around 16-1. There might be some outliers out there higher on Bukayo Saka to be player of the tournament, because no one really on England has stood out. But Saka, after being kind of moved around positionally in the last match, he scored a goal. He made his penalty. He was great in that match. And moving forward for them to win today and for them to win Sunday, he's going to have to star. Remember the last Euro, he missed the penalty against Italy, subject of a lot of racial abuse, took some heat. And I think if he were to bounce back and they wind up winning and he had as a key reason why, there might be a school of thought to give him the award. So I think he can still be had at around 16-1 or so if you're looking to maybe look at someone on England to potentially win.
Interesting. I guess it begs the question, though, Chris, because we talk about it all the time, or we've talked about it on this show, are voters for a Euro 2024 award any more nuanced than American voters are for our awards and all of our sports?
I don't know. Obviously, the tournament being every 4 years, I'm not certainly sure. There are even some thoughts out there that they actually kind of are influenced by a lot of other things. I mean, I posed that question about Spain and who would win outstanding player on Twitter yesterday. And a couple of people, including Nigel Seeley, reached out and said, don't be surprised if Danny Olmo were to get player of the tournament because he's an Adidas player. You mean Lamal is an Adidas player and Rodri is a Nike player. And there's so much like intertwined with like corporate sponsors in this tournament. So that's something to think about, too, which, again, is something that you'd never really think about. In a U.S. in a World Series or a NCAA tournament or whatever kind of outstanding player.
Sure. Okay. Copa America. Argentina now waiting the winner of Colombia and Uruguay. That is tonight. Colombia is plus 205. The draw is plus 175. Uruguay is plus 180. Where are you going with this?
I don't love this match just because I see a variety of outcomes, and I know Paul Paul did a really good job yesterday of just talking about how the physicality and the tightness of this match, and that's really what I think it's going to be. And I guess if I had to pick a side to advance, it would be Uruguay, because I think they are more built to play that type of match like we saw the other night against Brazil, where they really were physical. They really bullied Brazil on the ball and knocked them off the ball a good bit. And if they don't allow Luis Diaz and James Rodriguez room to run and distribute, that really takes Colombia out of its game. And I think that's the good thing about Uruguay, is that they're built to where they want to go 1-0, 0-0, going penalties. Okay, we have experienced penalty takers that we're confident in. They're going to call the match a little bit tighter, and it's going to be a little looser and a little open. Okay, we can win. We can win a 2-1, 2-0, 3-1, 3-2 type of match as well. So that's the beauty about Uruguay. I think there are more avenues to win for Uruguay. So I do like Uruguay to advance would be the bet that I would make here.
All right, real quick, give us the winner of both, Euros and Copa.
Spain and Argentina.
Spain and Argentina. Chuckity chuck chuck, but I get it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At this point, it may as well. But the two teams that are there—they're in the final. They're waiting.
Chris, enjoy your remaining time in LA. Sorry, I'm missing you in Vegas next week.
Take care, man.
Chris Felik, everybody from Los Angeles, California, just doing great stuff for Fox Sports. Imagine just good. He's like, yeah, I'll be in LA for 5-6 weeks covering both the soccer tournaments.
It's out there a while, man.
Then he comes here, probably entering some contests. Then he goes back there because our football. Fox is having their, preseason meetings and stuff.
Busy man. Football season's coming.
Just telling all his business. We'll come back. Deanna Colon from Jardiance next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada, the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and now for something a little different. This lady she studied voice at the Berklee School of Music, which is like the pinnacle of academia for music students. She is a popular chef on social media. She's a songwriter. I think she even got to the quarterfinals on America's Got Talent, and yet I have the audacity to want to talk to her about Jardiance. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Deanna Colon on the show. How you doing, Deanna? Thanks for doing this.
Hi, how are you? You are handsome. Look at that. I'm just seeing his face, everybody. So, wow, look at him.
Kelly, she's calling you handsome, Kelly.
Oh, thanks, Deanna. I appreciate it. I try. I work really hard at it every day, you know.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Just like me. Yes, I gotcha.
Well,
sure.
Listen, I appreciate this, and I just want to say in advance, you know, you have all this great pedigree that I just ran through, and yet you are known most for being the original Jardiance lady, if you will. Does that bother you at all?
You know, you have to be an OG at something in life. And I mean, I'm going to answer that with, I am grateful for absolutely every opportunity in my life and to still be doing it. I'm in 8 days turning 51 years old. I know you can't believe it. but to still be working and thriving and auditioning and getting roles and opportunities, I have no problem with anything. It's my passion. I love to create. And for me to flex my talents and be able to do that, that feels pretty awesome. So I'm not bothered by anything.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a series of questions that I hope don't bother you either. How did, and we're showing the original Jardiance commercial here with you dancing in the forefront. There's the mailman slash fruit guy. He had multiple roles. How did this come to you? How did the Jardiance commercial come to you? Let's start there.
In a nutshell, it's kind of a funny small world. So the guy that comes behind me in the makeup chair actually is the actual director. Fabulous director, directed Taylor Swift videos. I mean, you name it, he's done a bunch of stuff. But we worked together over 8 years ago. You guys may not know, but I also did back-to-back commercials for Big Lots. I was the Big Lots Christmas. And you can Google those. They're super fun. And he was the director of that. And come to find out, those commercials were so good to him, I guess, they're on his director's reel, which he uses to get jobs with different companies and corporations, blah, blah, blah. So apparently when they were looking for their person for this campaign, they saw me on his reel and said, oh, you know, who's that? Can we get her to audition? And they did their due diligence and auditioned nationally. And I auditioned and got a call back and then got the role. So it was kind of, it's kind of interesting that I've done probably over at this point, 10 national commercials, singing and dancing and acting. And they've all been with this director, Declan Whitebloom.
It's great.
And you're kind of crazy and funny. You know, he's got a monopoly on me.
Yeah. And you were great singing and dancing this. Now you are not the vocalist of the Jardians jingle. Are you? That is not you. Oh, it is
yes,
you.
Yes. And to clarify, the next lady, that is her singing. And obviously the new gentleman, it is him singing.
Okay.
No, people were like, oh, that's you. And I'm like, no, I was on the original, all the versions. And no, it's very authentic. Everybody is singing their own stuff.
So this is what I want to get to. So you may be wondering, why is this sports betting show having me on? So we became fascinated with this. And the reason that part of the reason we became fascinated with this, not only is this, okay, why is this drug company having this elaborate commercial? But more than that, it was, we sort of, first of all, I don't know if you know this, the commercial was on everywhere, right? To the point where we're like, oh my God, with the Jardians. But then we sort of fell in love with you, and then they ousted you. How did you find out about that? And then in the interim, what was going on online?
There is no, okay, let's clarify something. There's no ousting.
No ousting.
You know, when you're in this business, you're an actor, you're a singer, you're whatever, especially when you're working with brands, they move on. You know, they want to change it up. I was running for over a year. And as you guys said, monotonously, you know what I mean? I don't have TV. My husband and I stream. So we didn't understand.
I have type 2 diabetes. But
who's that lady? I don't know. But, you know, so there was no ousting. Everybody was like, oh, she lost it because of this and she lost it because of that. No, guys, they just, like anything else, they move on. My friend is the singer for the BK, have it your way, you rule. And I think he just was replaced vocally. It happens. They want something new. They want something different. They did two different spots, literally, me here and then me on the bus. And I ran for a year, like, I'm solid. And, you know, the way I always look at everything in my life is very positively, like, this is not my end all and be all. There is bigger and better things coming, honey. This girl doesn't give up. I'm going to be working till the wheels fall off, until Jesus calls me home. So if anybody gets anything from this interview, you don't give up. You keep going. You don't let anything. I put up a post on social media yesterday. You don't let your race, your weight, your height, your this, your that stop you from what you want. You keep going. And if you want something in this world, keep the eye on the prize, stay positive, do a lot of good self-talk, and you keep moving.
You are an inspiration for that. You harbored absolutely no bitterness for all the reasons you state right there. In fact, when you received, and I hope I'm not out of bounds on this, you did receive your share of online stuff, right? A whole lot. And you went ahead when the new lady was on the Jardians commercials, here's your quote, you telling everybody online, you be nice to her. First of all, I don't know who it is, but guess what? The company has decided to move on to a different person. Guess what? Onward and upward, but you be nice to this new lady. Don't you send her any hate crap, unquote. Good for you.
I have to tell you something. Getting a commercial of this magnitude was my dream. I'm honored to work with this brand. I'm honored to work with this production company, this director, everything. If they asked me back, I'd go tomorrow. No joke. With that being said, I have never met so many bored, miserable people living my best life as I did while this ad was running. I never knew that there were such hate-filled, sad people. I think it's Little Big Town. They have a song. It's like, happy people don't cheat. Happy people don't lie. Happy people don't this and that. Well, happy people don't sit on the internet and berate.
Yes.
And violate verbally a complete stranger just doing their job. And it is proven to me that it's people are so sad. I'm such a big animal advocate. I have 6 rescue dogs. I have dreams of a 501c3, and I love my animals like my children. And I think it's because I just know that people, some people are really good and some people are really, really miserable and sad. And I experienced that. And, you know, I bullied the bullies. I don't know if you saw that. I went online and told them where to go and how to get there. Because I've bullied my entire life for my weight. And, you know, sadly, people need to leave other people's bodies alone and deal with themselves. Worry about yourself. Worry about what's going on in your 4 walls. And once you get that 100% across the board, which I don't think anybody ever will, then you can worry about somebody else's body or how they're living their life. And I think that we just need to do that more. We are all so concerned with what everybody else is doing and how they're affecting us. It's like, are they really affecting you, or are you letting it affect you?
That's right. Good so for
you. So I pull the bullies, then block them, and I'm going to do it because I am tired of waking up and seeing another child committing suicide, being bullied at school. I am strong enough to stand here, and I'm strong enough to sit here and tell parents that are listening right now, do better with your children. Everybody's child is not an angel. Do better with your kids. And when somebody's telling you something about your child, please, please believe them. You know, we want to go into defensive mode with our kids. Or not my kid. Guess what? Your kid. And we just need to all lead with a little bit more kindness. I'm gonna be honest about that. Don't mean to be a drag here on drag.
No, you have a wonderful spirit. You have a wonderful what did you say at the end? I'm sorry. Go what?
I said go Celtics. I'm
go,
a Boston.
Oh,
girl.
Go Celtics. You have a future. Yeah. You have a futures bet on them for next year, Deanna? I'm just curious. Deanna?
No, let's just bet. Let's just say.
Okay.
Let's do it. If I have to bet, I'm gonna bet. But I love the Celtics. I'm an old girl, so I'm a Parrish Bird.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I'm that team. The original Sweet 16. I was happy to see them win again. And, you know,
number 18,
I love all the Boston teams.
Yeah. Dan, I got to run, but I got to close with this. First of all, you're absolutely right about, you know, the miserable people online. It's whatever's rattling around in their brains. It's not you. Last question. And this is a terrible form to ask this question, but if you could to the exact dollar, did you become enriched by Jardiance? Did you make a lot of money on this? Yes. Please tell us. Yes.
Do you see me laughing?
Yes, I do. Laughing to the bank, I hope? No? Or laughing the other way?
Let's just say I was blessed, but we got to keep going because we ain't Brad Pitt blessed. All right? We're not Taylor Swift blessed.
Gotcha.
We're not Beyonce blessed. We're not that blessed. Listen, I don't do this for the money. I know everybody says that. I really don't.
I don't do this for the money.
I do it for the inspiration. I want to inspire people to keep going and living their dreams, and that's it.
Deanna Colon. Deanna, you're a joy. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Coming back with Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Who can top Caitlin Clark for WNBA Rookie of the Year? Tyler Shoemaker has some thoughts on the website. Wes Reynolds on the Scottish Open as we crescendo to the Open Championship. Lou Finocchiaro on UFC. Lou's doing his thing. Nigel Seeley on more of the semifinals in soccer tonight. It's all there. And by the way, JVT, in case you missed his summer league tips earlier on this show, you can check it out on the website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, it's all there. vsin.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'll skip over the Djokovic vaccine and the earlier ones that I couldn't read.
Real quick, just yes. I don't want to forget this again. Kawhi Leonard withdrawing from Team USA.
I just coming
down here in the past 20-30 minutes.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I mean, he was there doing interviews and everything yesterday, so I don't know. Maybe he got a little tired of talking about Paul George after, like, a whole day.
Or he looked around the room and nobody was dapping him up enough, and he was like, I think I'm going to go.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jimmy Lopez. Me when Gil reads the formula. He's got a, I don't know if it's a beautiful mind thing or somebody looking confused at a formula on the thing. That's a Tom Tango formula. Los Vegas 514. Yo, can we get Flo from Progressive? Or how about Limu Emu or Doug next? Looking forward to this interview. Brian M. So there are favorites for the guests. doing all the research for the Jardians woman, but you've known Base Winner for, I believe I heard, a decade plus, and his location is still undisclosed. That is correct. Also asking about what happened in the Fritz match. Yeah, there was a delay after the first set, but they're playing tennis again. Taylor Fritz won the first set 6-3. They are on serve in the second. This is from Colin Murphy. Could you imagine all of the arm swinging at the wedding of Kelly Bidlin and the Jardians lady? Pure bliss. That's great.
Stop it, Colin. I'm so self-conscious about that now. Everywhere I walk now, I'm like, wait, I got to slow down and
You're
stop
welcome,
swinging my arms.
Kelly. You're welcome. Ryan Hyatt. I don't care what the reason is. Really don't need one at all, but A&G needs to have Deanna Colonna on once a month for the burst of energy and positivity. Great get by Kelly. Will go down as one of the epic VEASAN segments. Rob Platts. Good morning, Gil and Kelly. Your podcast is so inspirational in how you both talk about life and sports. The guest you invite to talk on your show is amazing. The Jardians girl is so uplifting for her to reference to not let negative people bring you down. Jesse Welch, incredible lady that Deanna Colonna was. I'm a fan all over again. Doug Wedge, you forgot to ask Deanna if she agrees with the tango formula and if she is tailing us on Seth Lugo. And then just to follow VEASAN, oddly inspirational segment. Looking forward to the original Jake from State Farm segment. I am angry that they gave Jake a face. I liked it when Jake was, oh, you're Jake from State Farm? Well, she sounds awful. I miss that, Jake.
Yeah, the original commercial of that one was great.
Before they put a face on Jake.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't want to have
right.
Jake on the show.
That was, you know, for us that have been big fans of the commercial series from Jardians, right? To find out that she was the singer and singing that. And that each of them are doing it, because I also thought, I was questioning that after we went back and did some more research yesterday. I was like, we got to ask her about this because I think she might be singing.
Yeah.
But I always assumed these, even with the newer
that it was still
actress,
her.
That it was still her.
I agree.
It was still the old song.
She's trying to get you to lower your A1C, Kelly.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Last thing on this, she downplayed the amount of hate, even though she talked about it. She did downplay the amount of hate she received online. And she kind of got caught in the crossfire. Like the Jardians, there was a lot of hate towards her personally, but a lot of it was just, why is this drug company doing this amazing, dramatic, you know, presentation? This doesn't seem right. And she was sort of the fall guy in that respect. But she has a great attitude. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Spreadopedia. It's where you can follow him. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I'm sitting here. I'm like, that sounds nice, but I have no idea what I missed.
Well, what did you miss? Where do we begin? No, let's not start. Okay. I made a Cy Young bet this morning. I bet Seth Lugo 13-14-1 to win the Cy Young. You like or you don't like?
I mean, it's nice. A lot of time left. I always reference Base Winner this time of year. If you find a guy you like at 100-1, don't listen to me if I tell you not to bet him at this point in the season. Robbie Ray, remember?
Robbie Ray.
Came in and won the Cy Young a couple years ago, way off the pace. So it's possible. Seth Lugo, 11-1, 12-1, whatever, 15, somewhere between 10 and 15. Not crazy. I do think Scooble or Burns likely takes it home, though.
Okay. By the way, Base Winner gave out Robbie Ray on July 31st of the year that he won it, which I guess was what, 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And it was 100-1 then. Seth Lugo, number one in the Tom Tango Tracker, by the way, by a bit here, Jason. The value, according to the Tango Tracker in the National League, is actually Reynaldo Lopez at 30-1. Would you take a nibble on that?
I don't like situations where you have two guys on the same team competing. You got to make the case that the second guy is better than the first. I have Chris Sale here from before the season. I'm actually holding. I got both second places right now in the Cy Young. I got Wyatt Langford in the Rookie of the Year. And I got Merrill second place in Rookie of the Year as well. So I got three second places and a favorite right now, all from preseason. Nothing I added, nothing I had to bet more of and chase with. So
that's awesome.
I'm kind of happy with my positions I'm not saying they're all going to get home, especially Paul Skeens doing what he's doing is kind of ruining some things. But there's really nothing else you could do when you get like Sale at 30-1 or whatever he was before the season, and Merrill was 40-1. You get some big, long shots like that, and they're both second favorites now. So nothing I can really do at this point but let it play out or add some more. I guess I could bet Skeens if I wanted to kind of free roll Merrill or something.
What was your price on Sale? 45-1 or something like that?
I got to look. It's I actually wrote about it.
I remember.
For Visa, but it was either 30 or 50. I also bet most strikeouts, so I could be flipping one of those numbers, but I want to say I got him. I got him to win like $25,000. So I'm going to say it's probably like 50.
What did you bet in baseball today?
I bet the Dodgers today. Dodgers plus 124. I actually bet them yesterday as well. But one thing that was weird yesterday, I knew this was a bad bet from the beginning. The market was moving all on the Phillies yesterday, and not at low limits. It was moving at full limits. It was moving, full vigs on the Phillies. I knew I was kind of dead before the first pitch. And sure enough, somebody knew more than me on that game, and Bobby Miller just doesn't look right. By the way, one other thing with the Dodgers is, every year we talk about pitching depth and lack of pitching depth, and all of a sudden, you look at the Dodgers rotation from March, and they're starting four or five rookies going into the All-Star break again. This is just, the arm issue in baseball is not going away, and you can never have enough pitchers. 9, 10, 11 starters is maybe enough to get you through the season at this point if you're a competitive team.
What is your most outlying baseball opinion at this moment in time?
Outlying? I mean, I'm pretty on the record that the regular season has been devalued, far too much, and the wild cards kind of ruin competitiveness. When you realize, ownership realizes you don't have to go out and trade for guys and spend money to be competitive, you can sneak into the playoffs with slightly above average play. But it's not like, it's not really like a fringe belief. Seems pretty.
Well,
we're out there.
We've talked about it. It's the word I use, the incongruence between a 162-game schedule and then this best of three, best of five format in baseball. It's just the cruelest thing going in sports. And I know a lot of people scoff at that and they're like, well, whatever, that's how it is. And I'm like, well, it's kind of messed up in a certain way as well. But I think you're right. I think that is not necessarily an outlying opinion at this point. I guess what I'm getting at is there a team, either to the good or bad at this point, where you think, nah, they're not getting to the playoffs, or this team is actually getting to the playoffs and nobody's really identified them? Let's talk about the National League specifically, because who are the three wild cards? I asked this of Will earlier. Who are your three wild cards in the NL? Who's getting there that no one expects to?
My answer last week was the Nationals. I don't know if I'm still going to stick with that, but I don't know. I think some of the fringe teams in the National League are going to make a run in the second half. It's like I said, the unfortunate thing is once you get these big favorites like the Phillies, the Dodgers, we know they're not going to get knocked off the Brewers. So half of the field is essentially already set for the National League, and you spend the second half of the season watching wild cards compete for, spots and knockout rounds or whatever. It's
anything else, anything else baseball today, or did you give them out all of them?
That's it so far, Dodgers, for me. I am going on vacation later this week, so I'm winding things down early for the All-Star break, and I'll be ready to go for the Olympics, actually. I'll be back the day before the Olympics. I can't wait.
Okay, Jason on the Olympics coming up as well. Drew on the Olympics, JBT on the Olympics, everybody. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Kelly on the Scottish Open on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the Day. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Brandon Kyles ending the cologne segment at the buzzer. Dr. Bob style. Great interview, Gil. Diana's energy and positivity is infectious. Is that because Bob never would he would ramble and then he would go too far? Is that what I think that's with Bob?
Yeah, so, yeah. That's absolutely what that's referring to.
We had one guest.
Like you're pretending like you don't think that's not a thing every time.
As I do remember that. We had one guest famously, and I won't give the name, early on, who didn't take the cue for the end. Ended the segment because we had to cut that person off. We went to commercial. The producer or the audio girl at the time, I think it was Anna Banana over there at Southport, he was still talking on the phone. I won't give the name.
We've had a couple legendary ones we laugh at, too. We won't name names, but where we've gotten one question off and then we've run out of time. That's happened a couple times.
We keep records of that. That's right. Incognito better. The original State Farm commercials were great. Jake from State Farm was an actual employee, and they often use real State Farm agents in those commercials. I don't remember that. I just remember the there was not a person attached to Jake.
Was his first appearance the time where it's like the phone, like, what are you wearing? Remember that one? Because I always laughed at that. He's like, khakis?
No, that was when he didn't exist, right?
Okay, so that was before.
Those were the best State Farm commercials. She sounds hideous.
Right. Yeah.
Jesse Welch. Good luck following up that historic A&G segment. Yeah. Banshees of Atlantic City. The energy drop-off from Deanna to Jason is like following three cups of coffee with a couple of Valium. Ironically, I'm going to need some Jardians to hold off this blood sugar crash. And then Logic 3227 with a screenshot of a Seth Lugo 50-1 ticket that he's got on side. Good for you, Logic.
Like it.
Good for you, Logic, if I may call you that.
The one other, I just keep thinking about things of the interview with Deanna, too. The other thing she said in there that I was thinking about is, because I almost wanted to interject with the, one of the reasons we've talked about it is we've seen it so much, right? Why do we see it so much, though? Because we're part of that small sliver of the population that still watches as much live television
as
we do.
That's
because
correct.
We're watching sports. So that's where we see all these commercials.
Because if you're watching, you know, Murder, She Wrote,
right,
you're forwarding through the commercials.
And Deanna said she and her husband just stream. So, like, she didn't even see it nearly as much as the rest of us. So there is sports bettors. Like, we're going to watch a lot of sports, so therefore we're going to get a lot of the commercials.
The real headliner of that interview was the last thing we spoke about, which we're not allowed to speak about. But that question I asked her, which she... Wow. Scottish Open this week. Scottish Open. They're playing both sides. That's my Sean Connery. you ratcheted back for this tournament. You don't go too crazy here.
I love this tournament, actually. Like, it's real. The Renaissance Club up in Scotland is where it's played at. That's right, Renaissance, not Renaissance. But like, it gets
Renaissance.
It gets sound a little bit more fancy this time of year when you say Renaissance. It's a great tournament. The course is kind of a. It's not a full links style. It's going to actually look very much like a normal PGA Tour Parkland course, except for you do get a few holes that are by the water, and you do get wind coming to play around the greens. Will look a little bit more links style. It's really become a great tournament, though, because there's a lot of financial backing behind it, like really, really rich dudes. when you can buy a spot of land off of a duke to build a golf course.
Off of a what?
A duke.
Uh-huh.
A duke, yeah. Yes. Hundreds of acres off a duke on water-lined property there. You've got some money. So
Rory is the short shot, plus 750. Yeah. Xander, plus 850. Just first-name basis with all these guys. Ludwig, 14-1. Colin, 16-1. Victor, 22-1.
Yeah, so you get a good field. A lot of these guys, right, are going over there. This is a warm-up before we go to the Open next week. And this is the week. We have the old Barbasol, which is called the ISCO Championship now in Kentucky. And what they do with these two tournaments, this is not an elevated event, not a signature event like we've got on the PGA Tour now. It is a split PGA Tour and DP World Tour event. So half the field is going to be from the PGA Tour, half the field from the European Tour. You get that both in Scotland this week and over in Kentucky. So if you're handicapping either one of these, keep those in mind. Not as many stats that are widely available on the DP World Tour. That's why I'll usually dial back a bit here. Some of that, though, you kind of toss out the window because the PGA Tour players are still just better overall than the DP World Tour players, right? So you're going to end up betting those guys. After this event completely depends on what kind of wind we get as far as what kind of scores we've seen over the years. We've seen a couple years where the winds really blow and this becomes a difficult course to score on. If the winds are dialed back, where right now, as of right now, things can change in Scotland when it comes to weather pretty quickly. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be pretty calm through the weekend, Gil. So something to keep in mind. There is one guy you've heard me mention many times recently. Keith Mitchell's one of the best ball strikers. He's probably a top 10 ball striker on the tour right now.
Yes.
I took a flyer long shot outright on him, but he will be a first round leader bet for me as long as conditions look like they're calm. If it looks like it's going to be crazy, he is a guy that struggles to scramble, struggles around the green. Maybe you don't want to play him then, but it just kind of speaks to a little bit what you're dealing with at this course. This is a bomber's paradise, though. You get guys that are long off the tee, have done well here in the past. You're not penalized very much if you miss the fairway. And if around the green play can become important if that wind is blowing, if conditions do get ugly out there. But otherwise, you're looking for bombers off the tee, strong on approach, and you're dealing with some big greens this week. So lag putting, three putt avoidance, that kind of stuff you're going to want to look at. Colin Morikawa was the first bet for me this week. 16-1, 18-1. I'm probably just betting him at this point until he wins, Gil. He's right up there. He's been on fire these past couple months. His worst finish since the Masters was T16 at Quail Hollow. So he has been on an absolute tear here since April. He's not a guy who's long off the tee, but he's great with his long iron, so he can make up for that distance a little bit. So bet him outright and then top 10. Other outrights, Tom Kim, Minwoo Lee, Keith Mitchell, and top 20 on Tom Kim, and then Morikawa and Aaron Ryan matchups for me.
Colin Morikawa, 27 years of age, 7 tour titles at this point, 1 PGA and one PGA and one Open Championship among them. PGA was over there at Harding Park there in San Francisco. Remember that well, his first one, where he was just chilling in the parking lot afterwards with his girlfriend, like,
yeah, man.
I did.
He's round into form. I have a feeling he'll be on my open card next week as well. He's playing really well right now. Tom Kim, too, these last 2 years, he's finished, T6 and third in the last 2 years playing here, and he had that playoff finish against Scotty Scheffler a few weeks ago where he lost to him. So Tom Kim rounded into form a bit. And Minwoo Lee is one of those really interesting examples on the tour right now because he's not great on approach. He's kind of middle of the road on approach. And when we talk about these guys that are the guys we love to bet, love to handicap, they're usually elite iron players. He's not really there yet, Gil. Still a younger guy. But he's great off the tee, great. I mean, he's a great putter, great around the green, kind of got the whole rest of the game. It's just kind of an oddity when it comes to guys that we like to bet.
He starts and finishes well.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between.
Right.
Interesting.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the card for this week. Honestly, the matchups.
Do you think Davis Thompson is going to sort of have a letdown spot, if you will, to use our football terminology?
So, my tournament matchups, right, wasn't planning on betting these. These are kind of principal matchups for me, okay? Tommy Fleetwood, he's been playing great, and he's going back to Europe, so he's getting a slight bump for that. Where I have Cole Morikawa and Tommy Fleetwood power rated at this point, though, it is a way bigger separation than -115 on Cole Morikawa. And then, yes, Aaron Ryan, Davis Thompson have both been playing great. Davis Thompson's 25 years old and just won, and now he's got to go all the way to Scotland to get ready for this tournament. Aaron Ryan's been playing some really good golf. I'll lay -115 on him to beat out Davis Thompson.
Our July most wins bet in a holding pattern from yesterday because the Royals and the Cardinals were rained out, so they're playing a doubleheader today, which kind of stinks because doubleheaders usually end up in splits. So Royals and Cardinals have that doubleheader, day-night doubleheader today. We'll see how that goes. Right now, the leaders for the month of July are the Red Sox at 6-1 and the Rangers at 6-2. Royals are at 2-4, by the way, so that's not a good start. But remember, they got 2 against the Cardinals today, then 3 against the Red Sox, and that will be huge heading into the All-Star break, how they do here in these 5 games, because after the break, then it gets super-duper easy. So if they can really perform here, then we will be in good position. If not, not so much.
Yeah, what was the number on, like, how many total games did they have this month? Do you remember that off the top of your head?
They started with 24, I want to say.
So
no, 23. 18. So, no, 23, yeah. So they had 17 left, which is about how everybody else has left since they had the rain out yesterday. And this was the week where they were going to, the other teams were going to pick up ground in terms of total number of games anyway, because they were idle for 2 days scheduled anyway, Monday and Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. Taylor Fritz and Lorenzo Musetti in a second set tiebreaker. I really need Fritzy to win this one.
Let's go, Fritz.
To have that under in play. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side, on the picture side. If you're watching, best bets, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.